John chapter 6, please, in your Bibles. Saw Judah just a while ago when he walked out of here, and I said, I know somebody's here. I thought that was him that walked out of that door, and good to see you, Miss Knight. I'm glad that you're here. John chapter 6, if you would, please. Miss Oswarty, I'm sorry I called you Snyder. Got you back single again, right? John chapter 6, if you wouldn't, pick it up in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, pick that up now. He was doing miracles, and they were seeing those things and watching those things. Yet, some things happened here in the rest of the verses that I think kind of plagues me just a little bit, how quick people forget. I want you to look at it. And Jesus went up in the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now I want you to get that right there. Underline Philip, if you would, please. And him questioning our Lord after the Lord said, we need to feed these individuals that came. And I want you to look at verse 6, underline that. For this he said to prove him. Folks, listen carefully. This is Sunday school class, but I'm telling you right now, God is going to always put you in situations to prove you. As I've been saved now these many years, I've found out that a lot of Christians are long on lip and short on life. We talk a lot about what great faith we have, but then when push comes to shove, sometimes we'll really find out just how deep our faith is. God will put you through some situations to prove you. Now, sometimes we don't understand. I do that with my staff, done it with my staff, done with folks that I've hired. Sometimes I'll put them through a test just to see. God will do that every now and again, for he knew himself what he would do. You see that the Lord knew what he was going to do, but he was going to test those that have walked with him. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. So we got Philip saying, this can't happen. You're asking to feed 20,000 people. Let's see, we've been there. Preach, I don't know if you've been there or not, that amphitheater there. You can see how that could take place. And with the women and children, probably 20,000 people, Philip said, no way. Except, look at verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. He said, 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now, he had a question, like, we got this, now, but there's a lot here, so we've got, now he questioned, but yet he still had faith, because the Lord said, we're going to feed these. Watch it. And Jesus made the men to sit down, and there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, besides them which sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. Preacher, I'm working on a message on fragments. You go down through the Word of God, all down through the Old Testament, even the New Testament, God will take fragments. Guess what's preaching to you today? A fragment of leftover. Spent 20 years of my life living for the devil. God got the leftovers. Truth of the matter is, we go down to the Word of God, you'll find a lot of people are nothing but leftovers. And you can go ahead and screw your halo on, but in this room right now, we have nothing but leftovers. God got the leftovers, the fragments that none should be lost. Think about that for a minute. Good mess. I'm working on it. But anyway, look at it, if you would, please. And 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a true prophet that you come into the world. Father, help us a little while in this Sunday school class. We thank you, Lord, for the great privilege to be here at Blessed Hope. We love this church. Pray for this church and this preacher. Certainly glad you've planted it here and done such a great work. And Lord, how thrilled it was to just have the assembly, Lord, with the children. Those children will never forget that pastor, spending time with them, singing those songs. They'll never forget those songs. Dear Lord, thank you for this church. Bless it, please, today. May I be a help and a blessing. Anoint me, use me, please, we ask. In Jesus' name, and amen. You pray for Kim. She wanted to come. She's dealing with her elderly father, so you pray for her, if you would, please. Preacher, I know you've had this before. A lot of times folks will ask, what school did you graduate from? I'm always interested in that because I want to know what a man was taught. When I meet preachers sometimes, they're used to God, and I ask them. Not that it matters, but I just want to know that. But we're always asked, what school did you graduate? And I want to speak on that. From what school did you graduate? When a person is saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us. The third person of the Godhead comes within us. The Holy Spirit comes and takes his abode in that person. And at that moment, that person receives eternal life. When you got saved by the grace of God, if you are saved, you had to come to conviction of your sin and receive. And that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, then you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Holy Spirit of God moves in and gives you eternal life. But our mind and thoughts must be renewed according to the born-again spirit. I want you to look at, please, go to Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles, please. This is a lifelong process, preacher. I've been around for a little while. I've been saved for a little while. Pastor the same church 40 years. And this morning, God is renewing my mind, constantly renewing my mind. Are y'all with me now tonight or this morning? It's a lifelong process. It's not just something that happens. If salvation was just instantaneously received and that's all there is to life, God could take us to heaven right then, but it's not that. We have to renew our minds, and God put us here for a purpose. And this dear church has been doing that purpose now for many, many, many years. But I want you to see it, please. It's a lifelong process until we awaken his likeness, and one day we'll do that. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be you transformed. Sorry for that word transformed. Your preachers already taught you that. It's a Greek word, metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis. You country folks ought to really know what that is. I'm a swamp boy, but I used to see those little ugly worms spin that cocoon. And I used to take them and put them in a box, and I want to watch that metamorpho take place, and then this beautiful butterfly comes forth. Are y'all with me today? Right. Ugly worm to this beautiful butterfly. Right. Jesus said, if you're born again, you're not to be like the world, but you're to be so changed that you're something different than what you were before. And the only way you do that is by renewing your mind. Preacher, when we're saved, we're just like we were the day before, except Jesus is in us. Now we have an opportunity to change, but we still think pretty much the way we did before. Now we have an opportunity by the Holy Spirit of God convicting us and showing us and giving us his word where we can then renew our mind. I preached in my place 40 years. I've had a lot of educated people there, a lot of college graduates. Secular schools, they come to me constantly and said, preacher, every time you preach, you're rooting out humanism out of our life that we're taught in colleges and in our public school system. You're constantly pulling it out of us, and you do that by the Word of God. It's amazing that how the Word of God sure do wonders for your college education. Anyway, I'm simply saying that it's renewing of your mind that we may prove, see that they're proving, you prove that whether it's good, accepted, perfect will of God. Now, if we are ever going to be able to listen and discern the prompting of the Spirit of God, our thoughts must be renewed. Nobody should ever be offended by the preaching of that man or any preacher that preaches. I don't care how strong he preaches, what he says that's strong, just because it doesn't match what you believe or what you think you believe. If it's the Word of God, you didn't renew your mind to the point of the Word of God. When you have a relationship with that book and know that book and read that book and walk in that book, it's hard for him to preach anything that you couldn't handle. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing. God didn't say something. He said nothing shall offend them. So it's amazing. You got to understand, I walked in that church. I already gave him a testimony. He had a long-haired hippie, wild as a stinking March hare, mean as a snake. And sat in there, and that preacher laid me out. Wasn't offended. I was convicted. Say, now, I didn't love the Word of God. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. But he preached the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted me. Then after that, me, long hair and all, I began to cut it. Y'all heard the testimony. I cut a little bit at a time. I was growing in grace and knowledge of Christ, one inch at a time. And so I kept going and finally, but he kept preaching. And then finally he said, why don't you bunch of stinking sissies? You like a little girl. I mean, think about that for me. A big old football player had scholarships coming in. This guy's called me a woman. But see, I didn't know anything, and I kept reading. And when he'd show me the Word of God, I said, there it is right there. Look at that, 1 Corinthians 11:14. What in the world? Who put that in there? Are y'all with me now? So see, because I was hungry and I was ignorant for 20 years, I got in that book, and when I began to get in the book, I never heard a preacher that could offend me. They said a lot of things I wasn't doing and wasn't living, and I got a conviction about it. But that's the thing about it, renewing your mind. Preacher, think about this. You have because you give. Philosophy is, no, you keep all you can, you know, put it in the can, set on the can, poison the rest. And the Lord said, if you're going to have, you got to give. See, if you're going to have a life, you got to lose your life. When we say, get all the gusto you can and live your life the way you want to, follow your heart. And the Lord said, don't follow your heart. It's desperately wicked. Think about all the things that the world teaches that's different than what the Word of God teaches. And I'm trying to show you that the only way that you can ever, ever understand this thing is renew your mind. And so we see that. And if we're ever going to listen, discern the prompting of the Spirit of God when it's preached or when we read His book, if we're going to have to understand that we have to renew our minds. And if we do not renew our thoughts, we will never grasp the thoughts of God, and our lives will never align with the Word of God. Preacher, the reason that all the rock and roll churches are being successful, so-called, think about them standing before God one day and giving an account for that mess. Think about that for a minute. Saved out of, they're doing in the house of God, in the name of God, what I was saved out of. Think about that for just a moment. How can you align your life with the Word of God when your entire lifestyle is not according to the Scriptures? And the only way you can line your life up with the Word of, with what the Lord wants in His will is align it with the Word of God. So God will not manifest Himself to us and our thoughts if our thoughts are foreign to the Scriptures. So we talk about walking with God. We talk about, have you met with God today? When you read His Word and pray and meditate or think on what you read and pray, your thoughts will align with the Word of God. Preacher, I think sometimes, and I don't know what y'all do here, in our place, we give out certificates if you read through your Bible in a year. We've had little bitty ones read through the Bible. In fact, we had the Che boy read through his Bible 4 times in a year when he was in school, little bitty boy. And God has used him in a great way, both those boys. You don't have to be 21 to start reading through your Bible. But we give little certificates out of reading your Bible through. And I appreciate that, and that's good, and that's always good to reward. But I'm asking you a question. Is that all you're doing it for? Check the boxes off. Or are you letting that stuff permeate in you? You're letting that stuff dwell in you. When you read something that you're not doing, do you say, dear Lord, would you please help me and forgive me? I don't mean to do that anymore. When you read something that you are doing, you're saying, praise God. I'm glad I'm doing that part of it. Is the Word of God permeating you? I'm asking you a question because we talk about that stuff. And the only way you can do that is to renew your mind. Many people will, you know, still have their old mind even after conversion. And this old way of thinking limits God from working in your life. Your thoughts are still polluted by the world. And the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, be renewed. You got to be renewed. And it's renewing your mind. You got to morph into something totally different than what you were before because you renewed your mind. Now, You see, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and you must first hear, and then your thoughts must parallel the Bible, and this is how faith comes. Think about this for just a moment, how much Bible you have heard this preacher preach to you. Preacher, I don't know if you heard about what happened my Sunday that I resigned. Ms. Osworth can tell you, I took all my sermon books. My secretary typed all my sermons up, put them in big black spiral binders, is that what you call them? And I lined them up all the way across that big altar. And they went all the way across. And you call me ugly, call me anything you want, but my folks are going to have to answer for all of that, and I will too. This is the truth they heard, and you must be accountable to truth that's preached. Think about how much truth this preacher has preached to you over the years. You say, well, you can't swallow it all. I understand that, but I mean, I didn't. When the preacher preached, he preached so much stuff when I was a young Christian. I said, how in the world could I live all this stuff? But he always had something that I knew I could change, and I kept changing. And don't believe me, he'll circle the field again. He'll hit those issues again, and then you can change. I kept changing. I kept changing it. Yeah, you know, I started getting separation and started trying to look like a Christian. Then he talked about, gave me a old Scofield Bible and get the plan of salvation, said, you'll either use it or it won't be used. Need to go start telling your friends, start telling all my football team. They started coming, tell all my friends, they started coming. Then I just started telling everybody. That's growing in grace. See, every time he hit it before, but I had to renew my mind now because I wasn't embarrassed before to talk about anything or be the so-called team leader. But now I'm a Christian. Let's find out if you're a real man. If you take a stand out in the world for the ungodly people that you used to run with. Now, let's see if you're a real man. Now, that'll push you to the edge. And when you said that, I had to renew my mind that I couldn't be embarrassed, couldn't be cool anymore. I had to be spirit-filled and had to renew my mind to understand that thing. Now, I'm saying again, listening and hearing are two different things, preacher. And you can listen, but never hear. That's what's happening in our churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Right. And so you listen with your ear, and you hear with your heart. And this is what has to happen. So you must engraft the truth of the scriptures that are giving us to be obedient to the scriptures, to have great faith in what we say you should have great faith in. Now, I'm talking about what school did you graduate from? I want you to look at it, please. Let's notice the school Philip went to. Philip went to the I Can't University. Preacher, I've been around this country, and I preach for a lot of guys. Their whole philosophy is I can't. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you listen to me carefully. Trust me when I say this. You talk to the typical individual, they'll say, nah. Jasonville, nah. It's crazy. Try to build no church on the side of a stinking country road. Can't be done. Won't be done. Ain't nothing will come from it. See, those individuals you got to stay away from. They're all over. They're in this church. You got a few in this church. It can't be done. Can't build buildings. Can't have good youth. Can't have a great church. Can't. I've been in this long enough to know I've met a lot of preachers that way, and I met a lot of individual and Christians that way. They graduated from the I Can't University. I can see Philip reasoning, preacher, this thing out with other disciples. Because the Lord said, look at this multitude. I want to feed them. You know, the Lord always had that compassion to do that. I want you to look at in verses 1 through 7 again. He wanted to saw the great multitude follow him. And he said, man, I so would like to feed them. His eyes were full of compassion and wanted to do something to feed them and take care of them. That's why most of you are coming back to church tonight. You don't want to hear me. You're coming to eat, and you ain't fooling me. But I want you to look at verse 6. He did what he did to prove them. But what Philip did is Philip said, these are not sufficient. Do you see it in verse 7? 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. So he had a bag, preacher. He had a few dollars. This is what happens a lot of times with preachers. When they lay it out for the church or the deacon board, or whatever, we can't do that. We can't. You know, I'm not quite sure if we understand what faith really is. We talk about it. We say we have it. I hope you have enough to be saved. But most Baptists don't have enough to progress and do what we need to do in buildings and reaching the community. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that your service is not over for the Lord in this community. There's still a lot to be done. And I'm sure you're busy at it. But I want you to look at the school, the I can't school. These are not sufficient. Are you hearing me now? Because you ain't fooling me, man. I sit around round tables with preachers all the time. Did you hear about Ross, man? On the sideway, he can't get it done. When we were moving 32 miles out to Elgin from Prospect Heights, 32 miles, moving a church 32 miles. I just drove from the western, is that where I'm staying? Western Inn down here. What town is that? Brazil. That's 25 miles. That's a pretty good distance, pretty good stretch. We moved 32 miles, moved the whole church. Big church. Jack Hiles used to tell me, he said, we sit around tables, preacher, and we talk about you. You're the subject of conversation across this nation everywhere I go. I said, well, about what? He said, is the man crazy? It'll never work. I said, man, thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate that. He said, Keith, nobody's ever done this and survived. I said, preacher, I can't help it. I've done everything I could do in the place I was at, and I can't do anything else. And the church voted, and I feel this is what the Lord wants us to do. This is what we're going to do. I would not suggest that for anybody, preacher. Don't move to Brazil, although there is a restaurant there. Better than eating this roadkill that some of you that we'll eat tonight. But anyway, can't be done. Impossible. My whole thing, preacher, when I stepped down, I prayed from the beginning, dear God, before I ride off in the sunset, fill that building up. And for the last several years, it has been. On Sunday night, half the balcony is full. And on my resignation, Ms. Osworth says, you can tell you could put another person in that building. God answered my prayer concerning that. Most preachers resign when the thing's going down instead of going up. I want to make sure that things are going up. I'm simply saying I've sat around enough tables to hear preachers say, well, it just can't be done. That can't be done. I can see Philip sitting around saying, 20,000 people out here, you see this multitude? And the Lord wants to feed them. What, 200 pennies worth is not sufficient? We don't have enough to. They ain't even enough bakeries. We're not even in town, around the country. I can hear them now, preacher, because I've heard it. I've sat around tables, heard all this stuff. Can't be done. I'm so tired of people having a defeated attitude, just what the preacher said about our country. Our country is still here. God's still on his throne. He's not on his throne because Trump's in the office. He's on his throne because he's always on his throne. And he's good because of what he is, not because of what he does for you. Amen. And so we need to understand. And these guys sit around. We're not downtown Jerusalem. I can see all the disciples. Yeah. Not only that, we don't have enough money. I just said that. I already counted it. And Judas, we have, 200 penny worth. That's not enough to buy what we need here. I hope Jesus don't ask me for no money. I already gave my tithe. I can hear him talking now. No, there's not enough bakeries. How many bakeries would we have to go to and ask them at this late hour to be able to feed this multitude? Boy, you got a point there, Philip. I can hear him now. Not only that, but it's much too late to eat. There ain't a Baptist believes that nowhere, man. Am I right about it? We absolutely, it doesn't matter what time we're going to eat, bless God. Philip's reward is all negative and impossible in nature. And he was, like most Baptists, he said it just can't be done. Philip refused the very command of Christ. When Christ said, I want to take care of this multitude, if he says that, trust me, it can be done. And if God told this man and this church that you can reach this community, you can reach this community. You can do it. You can build a church anywhere in the world if you just obey his command. It's amazing, preacher, how many times we try to fit God into our mold instead of us saying, dear Lord. See, what we do is we plan something, then we invite God into it instead of, dear God, would you give me the plan and let me get in on it? See, Philip refused the very command. And by the way, did you see what we read at the beginning? They saw the miracles. They understood the miracles. And yet they're questioning that what Christ can do in this situation. When Philip went to Jesus with the I can't report, Andrew stepped up. I want you to look at it, please. Andrew graduated from the school of I Can, the I Can University. It's simplistic little thing. But you need to think about this, because that's what we're dwelling in our country today. It's just such a defeated attitude. And please listen to me, folks. I'm not being unkind to you. You know I'm telling the truth about it. There is no news unless it's bad news. We're going insane, preacher. You can't watch the news and come out of that thing with a smile on your face. I can't listen to it. I can't read a lot of stuff anymore, or I'm going to end up being a mass shooter. But anyway, it's crazy, man. This stuff is crazy anymore. So are y'all with me now? So I'm going to put January 6th, people who just went to a rally. I'm not talking about some of the people that breached. I'm talking about just people that were in the rally. They were doing that. Even women are dying of cancer. Well, they're letting all the BLM rioters go. You think that's justice? Don't freeze up on me, folks. I could burn the stinking house down right now on that issue, how sad and sick our judicial system is. And Satan is absolutely working overtime all the time. And if you hear that enough, you're going to go crazy. We're living in the last days. And we want the Lord to come again. Every one of you, if you're right with God, you want the Lord to come again. Yet we do not want the situation to be at hand that has to be here before the Lord comes again. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days to come of the Lord. We need to understand how it was in the days of Noah. Just meditate on that for a minute. But there was an upsurgent of Satanism right before that rain came. And so Andrew stepped up. About that time with this young lad with sack lunch. And Philip must have thought that he was making fun of him and all of them that agreed. Philip said, there's no way, man. This kid's got a little sack lunch. Isn't it amazing that boy came prepared? It'd be good for some of us to do that. Just come to service with a sack lunch, because the preacher can just go ahead and preach as long as he wants. You came prepared. He knew that the Lord was long-winded. Not that we are. I want you to think about it for just a moment. And Andrew knew these five loaves and two fish were not enough, but he still brought them anyway, because he graduated from the school of I Can. Jesus said, let's feed the people. Andrew said, fine. All right, they can't eat money. Hey, boy, come here. What you got? I'm willing to give it. It may not feed everybody. We feed our Lord. Maybe we can feed him, and maybe he can preach another message to us. Not understanding when they put it in the Lord's hand. I don't care what it is. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how small you think your life is. If you live in the school of I Can, you can just put your life in the hands of God, and he could bless it and multiply it, and you could feed the multitudes. Isn't that an amazing thing? That little boy gave his sack willingly. Look at that boy right there. Look at him. He's right now in almost a coma, wanting to go eat right now because I'm talking about a sack lunch. Try to take a sack lunch from a boy. He'll bite your hand off. Think about it for just a moment. That boy willingly came up. Andrew brought him up. Are y'all with me now? And the Lord took that, read the scriptures, took it, blessed it. He fed the multitude. I don't want to get into this stuff too deep, but, you know, and you understand the fragments, 12 baskets. Well, think about from a little sack to 12 baskets of the 12 disciples, that none should be lost. Those fragments. Can you imagine that mama going back home to mama that made the little sack lunch and then comes with 12 basketfuls and put it there? She said, where'd all this come from, that little sack lunch? Get to your room, son, right now. You're going to get a spank for lying. You know? See, the truth of the matter is, you know, Andrew heard that command. And he might have doubted just a bit when he said, But what are these among so many? But Andrew still knew that Jesus commanded it. And when he said it, it can be done. And preacher, we need to understand that whole thing. And I preach this in the stewardship and mission conferences. But what they did, think about a basket, whatever they had. I mean, we don't know. The Bible's not clear on it. But I would think that what they did is they distributed it out and then it ran out, right? They had to go back to the source. The source of the blessing. That's what we don't do. We run out of stuff in the basket, then we don't go back to the source. We think it's, you know, we're the source. I'm simply saying that it's amazing that they had 12 baskets full. See, it's sad, but there are many churches and graduates from Phillips University, and they're always talking about the impossible. The impossible. And there's others who have graduated from Andrews University who are always talking about the possible. I think it's amazing, preacher, that I've met so many of those individuals, and I don't want to be around them very long. I love you. I love your family. I like to be around guys like you. Let's go. Let's get it done. You check me out. Most of my friends have been in their places for a long, long time because they just believe it can be done. The Bible says with God, all things are possible. We have this Vision Unlimited ministry. The other day, preacher, when I finished my message, I handed the keys to Brother Kavanaugh and all the Vision Unlimited and stuff that we did. No big givers. No one has ever written a big check for Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Providence Baptist College, the camp. Nobody ever done that 40 years. We did it on the common people. And I handed the keys to over $40 million of properties and buildings, all paid for. Because I graduated from the school of I Can. I did that before I ever went to Bible college. My daddy taught me that. My preachers taught me that. I'm simply saying that the many churches down through the time, preacher, that I've held this vision for, and their great buildings that they have that are reaching people for Jesus Christ, is just amazing. I got to quit, right? Yeah, we got service come. I need to quit right now. He's going to put you through turbulence. I mean, just because you believe it's possible, it still means that, doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Why would you think that for some reason that you're about to be used of God in a great way and everything's going to be smooth? It's just not. I preached 2 weeks ago in Mexico City with Kevin Wynn. Fit 500 preachers there. At a preacher's conference just in another building and preacher and helped 500 different preachers there. And then preached for him on Wednesday night and Thursday night. His crowd's so large, he's got to split the two midweek services up and even Sunday morning. I don't know if Brother Wynn's been here or not, but he's like the most unlikely individual that God would ever use. Really is. Him and Martin are two of the biggest goofballs I've ever met, and God is using them. Probably two of the greatest missionaries on planet Earth today. But I appreciate him the other day. Wednesday and Thursday, we had 263 baptized on those two nights. Probably runs 14,000 in his church. It's just amazing. I remember I started preaching to him when he was in a little auditorium, then a big auditorium, then a big auditorium, now this big giant thing. Let me tell you something about that guy. He graduated from school if I can. You can't talk about, I don't know if anybody knows this or not. Most people don't know this, but he gave me books. He just gives me stacks of books. He's starting churches all over the world. That's what we're going to do in Africa. Starting them all over India, all over the world, South America, all over the world. He has the backing to do that now. And that's good. There's some money people want to put their money in souls, not in investments. Some of you that have it in investments now, you know what just happened. You lost a lot of money. How sad. So somebody want to put it in souls, that which is eternal, and that's what's happening today. I'm simply saying that, you know, we need to understand. Look at, go to to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 3. I got to shut her down. I want you to see that. I want to be around people that want to do something for God. Young people, teenagers, y'all going to have to stay away from negative people. Can't be done. Can't have standards these days and times. Stay away from that. And church members, stay away from people that are always talking negative stuff. Always graduate from the school of I can't. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, if you would. Now unto him. That's where it's at, preacher. It's not my ability, it's his ability. See, now unto him who is able, he's always able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you think in terms of I can't or the terms of I can? How to change? Number one, repent from the school of Philip. Number two, realize God has given us an I can book. Number three, read your Bible. Don't read it for religious penance, but read it through in a year and read it to feed your mind that you might renew your thinking. And you'll never be ever offended by anything the preacher ever says. And you'll grow in grace and knowledge of Christ in such a way that'll freak you out. I witnessed to a guy yesterday, Friday. Very successful young man. And I told him, I said, son, what you need to do is, he's saved, but he's not in church. I nailed him down, gave him the gospel, but he's not in church anywhere. And he said, preacher, I promise you I'm going to go to Northwest. I said, I'm not there anymore, but you need to go. Because he needed to renew his mind that he might grow in grace. When you meet these people that have never grown in grace, it's because they are not renewing their mind. I don't care how old you are here. I don't care what you think of yourself. Every day of our life, we've got to renew our mind. That's what walking with God is, getting in that book early this morning as God was touching my heart through the Word of God. It's renewing your mind. It's when you line your life up with the Scriptures. The hardest thing for me to do coming out of worldly life and all that other stuff is when that preacher preached. For me, instead of criticizing him and critiquing him, I saw what he preached from and I looked at it and I kept plowing through that book. And I got to thinking what he said made sense. And when I looked around the room, I said, I could never be like those people. Those people are too perfect. But as I found out, we're all a needy people. None of us are perfect. We're all fragments. We're all leftovers. All I had to do is renew my mind. I ain't got to worry about you. I got to worry about me. And if I'm going to stay in this thing through the longevity and be put in a box and died in faith, I'm going to have to renew my mind. Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord. I so love, Lord, the people that's influenced me. My dear dad, what a man. He always said, son, you can do anything you put your mind to. And yet when I see the Word of God, that's pretty much what the Lord said too. But my dad had maybe a little different philosophy, but for sure our Lord doesn't. So I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this precious church and these good people here. And I pray, Lord, if they're from the Philip University, I pray they'd transfer to the Andrew University and do something for God. I thank you, Lord, that many of our graduates of Providence Baptist College are absolutely getting it done because they have adopted the I can philosophy. I pray that you'd bless the services come, save the soul nearest hell, revive backsliders. We ask in Jesus' name.